I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So I gave birth to her. So at the time when I got pregnant, I knew that I was queer, but I actually conceived her just checking if I liked guys.
Like, when you are queer, you just realise there's no such thing as normal. So you have to, like, make your own path.
And I came out as bisexual first because I felt like it was still, they will still give them the hope that I'm going to have a child the way they want me to have a child in the future.
I feel like we're going to probably be the first ones to have this kind of, like, community. And it's a shame that it's so, you know, heteronormative that you don't feel that comfortable in that space or you don't feel like you belong.
Welcome, welcome one and all to Some Families, your LGBTQ plus parenting podcast. My name is Stu Oakley.
And I'm Lottie Jeffs. Thank you for being here with us in your ears today, whatever time of day you happen to be listening to us.
And Lottie, can I just ask, let's kick off the episode this week. I want to know, has anything at all interesting happened to you this week in lockdown hell?
I love that that's what it's come to. Anything?
Anything
interesting?
A good episode of EastEnders or, yeah.
We did watch this really annoying thing. I don't know if you've seen it, called The Stranger on Netflix. And it has, like...
I love The Stranger.
Did you like it?
It was so cheesy and so...
12,000 different plot strands. And I was like, what? Eddie from Ab Fab is murdered in a cake shop. Like... Where do we go from here? So other than watching copious amounts of television, I've made two new friends. I've made friends with the gay boy who's like a decade younger than me, who lives opposite us, because he asked the neighbourhood WhatsApp group if anyone had a printer that he could print something out on, and I said yes. And as soon as he came to my door, I was like, he's a sister, he can stay. And we had a nice chat, and it turns out there's a house of young gays over the road, so we've been having a few walks together. And I've made a mum friend, a very cool, straight but incredibly open-minded and interesting woman that I met on one of those parenting apps that you can, like, swipe through, like Tinder. I think I spoke about it once before because I was upset that nobody wanted to be my friend.
Did you actually find someone this time?
I've found one person, yeah. But it's nice, we go for walks and, like, that's nice. So I guess that's my news. What about you?
It's a monotonous day after day of the same after the same after the same, which is really cheery, isn't it?
And how are you keeping sane?
I'm not, is the truth.
Can we tell listeners about the message you sent me saying I'm lying on my kitchen floor?
Yes, that was a low point. My daughter's home from school, my husband's at work, and it was just too much. And I just decided to lay on the floor, to which one of my other friends, who I mentioned this to a couple of days later, mentioned, well, you're not at all dramatic, are you? So I was like, okay.
I would like to imagine how you got down to the floor. Like, was it sort of like a
drag race
swoon? Was it a drag?
It was a drag race drop.
And over it.
Yeah, I am over it. And if anybody else is over it, I'm sure there's so many. I'm here with you, and thank you for everybody that posts their miserable lives on Instagram as well, because it makes us all feel a bit better. It's misery porn. Roll on the summer. My daughter painted a picture this week. I just told her to draw. I was like trying to do some work, and I said, oh, just draw a picture. And then she drew this picture and she just proudly picked it up and she was just like, it's daddy drinking wine in the sun.
I was like, I bloody wish.
I mean, she knows me so well, but I was like, please just take me with a big glass of rosé sitting in the garden while they paddle around in their splash pool.
Oh. Right, anyway, enough of us.
Enough, yes.
Nonsense.
So in today's episode, we have a little bit of a podcast love-in. We have the amazing hosts of Tutu's podcast, Nana and Rose.
Hey!
It's a really brilliant podcast. It's so funny. I've really found myself laughing out loud as I've been listening in public transport and all sorts. So thank you for bringing such joy to our ears. And I've also learnt a lot. So Rose, Rose, you'll introduce yourself in a bit, but you've got a 9-year-old daughter, and Nana, from what we understand, you are starting to maybe think about going on a bit of a parenting journey yourself, maybe one day in the future, not too distant future.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably like 3 years time, give myself 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, cool. 3 years? Wow, okay.
Maximum.
I mean, get on it is my advice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah,
because those years fly by sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you never know which way it's going to go.
You can't plan for kids, can you? Like, I mean, we can kind
of. We have to.
you can't really plan, or you be waiting for ages. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, you can plan absolutely everything up until the point that you can plan, and then you just have to hand yourself over to the fertility gods.
Yeah.
I mean, jumping straight into it, Nana, I mean, what ways are you thinking about, or is there a particular journey that you want to go on with it?
You know, I mean, the cheapest way possible, I'm thinking, because it's gonna cost a lot of money anyway. I'm gonna have them until they're over 18, because I know parenting does not stop at 18. So yeah, I've been thinking about, I've got a girlfriend, and we've got a sperm donor. We've actually got a sperm donor.
Amazing. Someone, yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's a friend of my girlfriend's, and yeah, he's lovely, and he's willing to give us a sperm. So we're just like,
wow. Love it.
It's sick. So that's the route we're going down. It's probably turkey-based our situation.
I am screaming.
Did you not know this, Rose?
No.
This is brand new information. Yeah. There is some exclusive sperm on the scene.
Some family is exclusive. Yes. You heard it here first, listeners.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. We'll make sure you get it all in writing and get all the contracts and do all the legal business. And make sure, because you know, if you're not married to your girlfriend and you use a donor and you just do it at home, you're not both considered the legal parents. Mm-hmm. You have to either go through a licensed clinic or you have to be married.
Right. Okay,
just things to keep in mind.
Yeah, I'm marriage donor.
It's just ripping that spontaneity and that. Yep, there is no spontaneity in parenting, in queer parenting.
Mm. Yeah.
Rose, tell us about your daughter. She's 9, is that right?
Yeah, so she's 9. She'll be 10 in June. And yeah, she's just my little Amy. And she's... So I gave birth to her. So at the time when I got pregnant, I knew that I was queer, but I actually conceived her just checking if I liked guys.
Not been there.
That's so efficient.
Yeah.
That is so efficient. Like, I'm good, but I got pregnant.
Yeah, literally, that's literally how it went. And yeah.
So
and,
you were the spontaneity then.
Oh, 100%.
The other end, yeah.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, at the time, I wasn't sure if I was what was typically maternal. I wasn't sure if this... Obviously, I just started uni as well, so I wasn't sure if I was... What a mum was going to do if I dropped out of uni to have this child. So yeah, there was a lot of decision making, and in the end, I just felt like, I'm not sure if in the future this is something that I would do, so I'm going to just grab it now. And whatever happens, happens. And it's just been the most magical, the most beautiful journey ever, and I just wouldn't change any part of it for the world. Like, I love her, I love the process. And it's great.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear. Oh, that's given me a bit of, you know, warmth inside. I've been moaning about how my kids...
You've been dead inside for months. So thank you.
I've been dead inside because of the kids driving me to insanity. And it's actually nice to hear somebody just feel so, again, parental.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments where, you know, during the home learning,
Do you mind if we just go back to the guy that you got pregnant by and mm-hmm. what your relationship was like with him and if and how that has continued? And I'm just really interested, as yeah. you said, you were a queer person and obviously you had this relationship with a guy, how that sort of yeah. transpired.
So we weren't in a relationship, we were just friends. We were literally just friends okay. at uni, experimenting. And but over the years, he just kind of thought, he's kind of tokenized, like he's got a lesbian baby mum, sort of. So it's for him, is he's just, oh yeah, mom, the mother of my child is a lesbian. But over the years, we haven't really, because now he's married and he has his own family now. And I guess the wife isn't that comfortable with my sexuality, even though it hasn't got much to do with her. So he hasn't really been around that much. But okay. yeah, but prior to that, wow. he just loved the fact that he had a lesbian baby mum before that.
It's strange, isn't it? It's so weird.
It's strange, yeah. Mm.
How do you navigate that with your daughter? Is it, does she spend time with him and his partner?
Or? No, not anymore, not really. So they used to, but now that he's married and stuff like that, not really anymore. He does call her sometimes, but actually physical, like, interaction and visits and stuff like that doesn't really happen anymore. But she, because at home, we live with my girlfriend as well, and I just feel like she doesn't really feel like anything's missing that much. That mm-hmm. like she still has two people that love her, and she definitely does take my girlfriend as her second parent as well. And she, I mean, sometimes she doesn't speak about her dad, it's always going to be her dad, but she doesn't yeah. really that much. And I think it's just because she has two people loving her. And mm-hmm. in school, when she has friends who have maybe their mum and dad's talking about their mum and dad, she feels like she still has two people to kind of match up to that. So she just doesn't really, she hasn't really expressed any sort of loss, which is great. But you know, she's not older yet. When she's older, she might do then. But for now, we're just taking every step as it takes. And whatever questions that she does ask, you know, we're always willing to answer her truthfully and stuff like that.
Nice. And Nana, what's your role? Have you babysat?
Do you know what? When Rosie is like, maybe she's like stuck at work or can't pick her up from school, I like go and pick her up. I see it all the time. It's like we're family now. So she's like my niece. I've got like four nieces. So it's just like, yeah, the more the merrier. Lots of them. But like, she's such a sweet kid, honestly. And I feel like, I don't know, like Rosie makes parenting look so easy. Like I've never seen it so easy. And I say this all the time when she's like, oh, like, what do you think like the best quality that I have? And I'm just like, you're just a really good parent. Like a really good parent.
Oh, bless you.
How nice is that?
Yeah, like, yeah. And I get like maybe her in the beginning not feeling maternal, but she was like, she was born to do this. And the thing, and that's the thing about, you see people and you see them as they are, like physically, because mass presenting, aren't we? And you might not assume, you may assume that we don't want to carry, or we might not want to be mums, but there are some of us that do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Prime example, so she's doing a wicked job.
Aww. Thank you,
Rose. When you had her, you said you knew yourself that you were queer at that time. But were mm-hmm. you out at that time when you had her?
So just a few friends, not that many people. And I think at the time, I didn't have any queer friends at the time. So all my friends were straight, and they just thought it was a phase, because others were also going through the phase. So yeah, they just pretty much thought it was a phase. But they always recognised there was something a bit different. I wasn't into the same things they were into. And that's like literally, even when I told them that I was pregnant, they all thought it was like just a huge joke, because they just, you want a guy. But they still, even though they still felt like it was a phase, they still just couldn't get their heads around it.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say you never felt maternal, could you like dive into that a bit more of what you sort of meant by that?
For me, I think at the time I was looking at being maternal in a more typical, stereotypical kind of view, the way like society has told us a maternal person is like. And at the time, even though I knew I was queer, I never explored queerness that much. I didn't explore all the different things that we know now with being non-binary, being masculine presenting, or anything like that. I just didn't really have the language. I just knew that I was queer. And at the time, everything that they said, you know, if you're a mom, that you need to be like, just the qualities of what a mom is, I just didn't feel like I was that, even though now I am a mom and I am that. But I just wasn't that in the way that they presented on TV, in the media, what I saw in my family. And I also knew that I didn't want to be with a man. So I just felt like, how could you be a mum but not be with a man? Because these were all the examples that I saw around me. Mm. I never ever saw, at the time, I never had any examples of queer families around me at all, or not even one, not even in the media. I just hadn't seen it.
And did you feel similar, Nana, when you were that age, in the sense of, did you imagine that you'd ever one day want to have children? Was that even a question that you'd had in your mind?
Do you know what? I always wanted to be a parent. I think when I was 18, that's when I was like my most broody. I know it's weird, like, but it was like when I was my most.
That's probably when your biological body clock was telling you, like, this is the optimum time to be doing this. Yeah. Sadly.
It's like seeing the babies and just being like, oh my God, it's so cute. That was me at 18. But it was once when I, because I wasn't out until I was about 20. So it was when I came out, I was just like, okay, so how am I actually going to do this? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just like Rosie, I didn't see like two same-sex parents. Like, I just didn't see it. And especially within like the Black community, I didn't see that. I did not see that. I didn't see it in person. I didn't see it in the media. So I was just like, how am I going to do this? And even like coming out to my family, it's just like, oh, okay, well, all the dreams of you having kids, they're out the window now. And it's like, well, no, I've probably still got a working uterus, so I'm sure I can, you know, I can have a kid. But it was just like, it's just trying to find your way around it, because like when you are queer, you just realize there's no such thing as normal. So you have to like make your own path, and you get there a lot quicker actually as a queer person, I think.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think that classic, and it's so classic in the coming out stories of, you know, parents going, well, I'm never going to be a grandparent, or, oh, you're never going to have children now. Yeah. I'm curious to know when that will, or if it has indeed, thank God, already kind of died out, because of, you know, there's still not a lot of queer representation out there for families.
Especially for families, yeah.
For families, there isn't still. I mean, the fact that, you know, we've been around for a year now, this podcast, and we were the first ever LGBT parenting podcast. You know, there's nothing on a primetime soap, and very little, if any, in film. So just, you know, I'm curious to when that classic, oh, they'll never have grandkids, will die out.
I think there's still quite a way to go with that. Because even some of my friends, even though I already had, by the time I'd come out to my family, I already had Ami, but I do think that they still felt like, is she gonna have any more children? And I came out as bisexual first, because I felt like they would still give them the hope that I'm gonna have a child the way they want me to have a child in the future. And it just kind of softened the blow a little bit. I feel like it maybe softened the blow a little bit to them. And some of my friends have done the same. They just come out as bisexual first, and it's literally just because of having kids. That's the only reason why they come out as bisexual, even if they're not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll consider having a baby with your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. We definitely do want to. And we've actually been looking at our options and stuff like that. So
that will be interesting to have kind of experienced just a quote-unquote natural pregnancy and then the sort of work that goes into doing it when you're a same-sex couple. I want to ask you about going out and clubbing and partying. Ooh. Because on your podcast you talk about it a lot.
What is that?
I know, exactly.
And isn't that what they used to do in the olden days?
Yeah, the young people. But I really enjoyed listening to how you talk about nightlife. It made me feel very nostalgic for it, because it's been a long time as a parent, and also obviously in lockdown. But I wanted to ask about why nightlife is important to you, because you talk about the sort of spaces and clubbing, Black gay nights in London. And I wanted to know why that's important, and also what advice you would give a parent who once got so much of their identity from partying and going out, but when they become a parent, they feel like they have to stop all of that and lead a different kind of life. What you would say to them?
I think, do you know what? It's funny, because in this lockdown, obviously, we haven't been able to go out, and we've missed the community so much, because it's just a chance to be with your chosen family, like your tribe. These are the people that you choose to surround yourself with, and like it feels safe, it feels like home, it feels like a place that you can go where you're just there to enjoy. And for a lot of like queer people, home life isn't always the best, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a chance for them to go out and just like enjoy and have a good time. It's so weird that parents say that they don't go out anymore, because if it was me and, you know, I had a chance to go out, I'd be going out. I'd be like, I don't know, I'd just give my kids to my sister and be like, listen, I need to hit the club. I don't know. Is it because you don't want to leave your children?
It's because you've got to wake up at 5 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
Listen, you see that? That's one thing I'm going to have a problem with, because I'm not a morning person. So I don't know. The kids wake up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's just too early.
Do you know, I never experienced waking up early in the morning. She just slept all the time. I never experienced it. I never experienced it.
We got fooled into a sense of security with ours when they first came to us. For a good, you know, for a good year and a half or so, they used to sleep like angels, and my daughter used to lay in till sometimes 9 o'clock in the morning. It was heaven. But wow, Suddenly it's just hit now, and it's a good 4:30, 5 a.m. every so often.
I'm so sorry.
It's like, oh, maybe the second.
I do think it's gonna happen. I think for the second, I'm going to get maybe the 3 o'clock starts. I just know it's going to happen.
Were you still, you know, pre-lockdown, were you still able to kind of go out as well as much as Nana? Or
I think I go out more than Nana, actually.
That's awesome. What's your advice then to the parent that just is like, oh no, you know, I used to love all that, but not anymore?
So in the beginning, actually, I didn't go out. So I didn't really go out till Amy was about 4 or 5. Unless it was someone's like birthday dinner or something like that, I was at home. Mum was not babysitting. Nobody was babysitting for me, because all my friends were in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. Everybody was going out outside London, and just nobody was babysitting for me. And mm-hmm. to be honest with you, I didn't really mind that much. I didn't really feel the urge to want to go out. And it wasn't until, I would say I was about 20. So I'm 30 now. So it wasn't until I was about 24 and 25 that I felt like, okay, I want to go out again, I want to see what's out there, I want to meet new people. And when I was 25 is actually when I met Nana, actually. And I think that year I was going for it. And I just feel like you just have to go with how you feel inside as well. For me, I just did it because for my mental health, really. I just was getting a bit sad at home all the time. So that's why I just started going out. And I asked my mom if she would like babysit now, and she said, okay, yeah, she's older now, so we'll babysit. And I also have an auntie who is a nanny, and also my niece has the same birthday as my daughter does, so they all just used to go to my auntie's house and just play together. So I was a bit lucky there that they were willing to like do the babysitting when I was going out and stuff. So it was fine. It was literally just because how I felt inside. I don't think anyone should feel forced to do something, and if they can make it so they can go out and get some responsible babysitters, don't just send your child with anyone because you want to go out. Make sure it's a responsible person that you know very, very well. And yeah, just go out. Like, even if sometimes I've been out and I know that I need to come back a bit early, but at least I've been out for an hour or so. Come back early.
It's so important to like remember that side of yourself, isn't it? And that your identity. Stu and I have spoken about that. Mm-hmm. Like, what you give up, you don't have to give it up. Mm-hmm. But I think so often parents, mums in particular, just are like, well, I've just shut the door to that whole side of my personality and my sense of self that got so much joy from dancing, even.
Yeah.
Or listening to music. I think I'm guilty of it, but I think it's a shame. And I feel like when the world opens up again, I'd really like to be a bit more carpe diem in my attitude to my social life.
And soon, before you know it, you'll be taking Amy clubbing with you.
Oh God. She is not allowed until she's 40.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
So moving away from the kind of going out scene, I just kind of wanted to follow up on that and ask about your views on, I suppose, the parenting community. And have you found, you know, yourself in a community that embraces parenthood? And have you got many friends within that space, I suppose, Rose?
Not really. I mean, I do find whenever I see a queer parent on Instagram, for example, I do just follow them. Whether I want to speak to them or not, I just follow them. But in regards to like anyone that I know in person, no, I'm definitely the only one out of our friends who is like a queer parent. And so yeah, it's just really small. Like, that's when I heard about this podcast, I was thinking, oh, okay, this is a platform. Like, I'd never seen anything like it before, and I thought it was really, really cool. And actually, after I did follow you guys, I did see others from you guys as well. So that was cool. That was quite cool. I wish there was like a community or like a WhatsApp group or something. I don't know.
Did you ever go to any sort of parenting groups or mother and baby groups and stuff when you had a tiny baby?
Yeah, I did, and I didn't. After a short amount of time, I just stopped going, just because it was just very cishet, you know. It was very cishet. I just didn't really connect, you know. And it was just a lot of the language is very like hetero language and stuff like that. And by now, I knew that I was queer. I just had stopped going.
It's a shame that we miss out.
Yeah,
it's sad. I feel like we're going to probably be the first ones to have this kind of like community of, I don't know, within our spaces, because I don't see it. I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, like actual community. And it's a shame that it's so, you know, heteronormative that you don't feel that comfortable in that space, or you don't feel like you belong.
I did see in the news this week about, there is a hospital in London, I forgot what hospital it is, that they now are going to have like a gender non-conforming department or something.
I think it's a hospital that the midwife services there are just making the language that they use around pregnancy and birth. They're creating like a lexicon specifically for queer and non-binary and trans people, so that they're tailoring the language that they use to the identity of the person. So if somebody's trans, they're not going to talk about breasts, they're going to talk about chest and like subtle things like that. But the newspaper like obviously ran it as this big sort of sensational story, saying that, what, you know, like the tone is like, whatever next, what madness.
I got that
is
as
this?
Well, yeah.
Whereas actually, if you really read into what the story is, it's like a very small good thing for trans people. It's like, just let them have it. Like, it's not taking anything away from you as a cis heterosexual person. You don't need to be defensive or worry. Nobody's taking anything from you. We're just giving someone something that they need.
It's just to make everything like inclusive and like to make people feel, you know, safe and to make people feel comfortable. Like, why shouldn't everyone have that? Especially like as a pregnant person, the amount of things that was going on in your mind, you don't want to have to think about if somebody is going to use that like, wrong language or misgender you, whatever. Like,
exactly.
Like, it's just creating a safe environment for people.
Yeah, but it's something that's Yeah, something Stu's talked a lot about as well, Stu, like just talking about feeling alienated from like parenting groups just because of the language being like always mother and baby, mother and child, and even things like books about how to feed your child are aimed at mums as though dads just don't feed children.
It's not about taking away motherhood, and it's not about taking away the idea of mums, but it's just using that, that's such, I mean, parent is such an inclusive word. It's so simple and it's so unoffensive to so many people. Just use parent more. Just we are parents, and that just covers off so many different things.
It's interesting to talk about identity, and that's something that I've been really interested in and sort of learned a lot from as well from listening to your show, is sort of navigating intersectionality and your identity. And then I was wondering in that, like where woman, where mother, like all of those different identities, how they're all like spinning around for you all the time.
For me, I do think that some of our guests come on and they say like black is first and stuff, but for me personally, I think everything coexists like equally. I'm queer, I'm a mom, I'm black, and I just think that they all just coexist together. I don't think I can rank it in any sort of hierarchy to say one is more important than the other, because there are quite a few black queer people that do say that their blackness comes first, and I think that that comes from just how they've grown up in the home, especially with a lot of African or Caribbean parents not really being quite homophobic, basically. And it's just like being queer is not part of being black. I think, yeah, that's still something that people work on and stuff. But for me anyway, I think it just all coexists together. And even being a mum as well, kind of going back to the language, sometime in the beginning, I felt so uncomfortable being called a mum. Like if it was a bit more inclusive and people just call me a parent, a mummy, come. Sometimes even now when people call me a mum, I still feel a bit, like, what do you mean, mum? You don't know me. You don't know what my pronouns are. Stuff like that. I just want, you know. So, yeah, just to go back to that point as well. That's, yes, I would say like a parent and being queer and being a black person all in one, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Nana?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think that some people do say black first just because it's what you can see. For me, it's just everything's a part of me, it's part of my identity, and it's all equal. That's what makes me, every single thing. Like, I'm queer, I'm a woman, I'm black. All those things make me. So I can't put one above the other. It doesn't. So that's why sometimes it's a bit annoying when, you know, like we are talking about certain things and people feel like, okay, you got to drop the queerness right now because we're talking about this. But it's no, it's
interesting.
No. You've got to talk about all of it because all of it matters. You know, I can't just let go of, you know, one part of my identity because it doesn't even make sense. That's who I am.
And I suppose it's navigating spaces that are specifically for like one type of person. It's just, as you say, it's being in those spaces as your full self, and not feeling like you have to be confined by what that box is.
It's interesting because, like, even being a parent, I don't feel like, I know we're in the club, like being in the club is not about, you know, we're always going to be talking about, oh, how was your school run today and stuff like that, but you know, but I still feel like when I'm in a black queer space, I have to put my parenting to the side a little bit. Just because of some of the, because I'm masculine presenting and some of the more stereotypes in our community still about masculine presenting women, like carrying a child or being a mom and stuff like that, sometimes it's still a bit taboo in our community. And so I do feel like sometimes I have to put it on a backbone. So it's sometimes even like issues there with trying to exist all as one person.
Quite recently there were some masculine presenting people speaking about parenting and stuff like that. And it was just like, and then some of the things that they were saying, oh, I couldn't carry a child, you know, that's for the femme to do. And it's just like, so weird. Like, this is, you lot are literally putting yourselves in a box.
Say an older generation out of interest.
No, they're not. They're like, they're our age, but I do find with the older generation as well, if they're a bit more stiff. Yeah, they are a bit more stiff. It's very much, you know, gender roles.
Butch femme.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how those labels come into parenting as well. Like, we have all those labels within the queer community. They're labels within themselves, like you say, they're in a box. That's their box, and they can't leave it, whereas you can be more free than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I said I'm not gonna, like, when I raise my kids, I'm not really gonna put the gender thing on them. They're just gonna be kids. You know how, like, you know, if you're a boy, we put blue on you, and if you're a girl, you put pink. All of that stuff's going out the window. It's all you know, certain chores for boys and girls, all of that stuff is just out of the window. Like, gender's not going to matter in my house.
Yeah. You say that, though, because I found this really interesting as a parent, is I was completely on the same view of you. And before we got the kids, I would be like, you know, don't be gender specific about things, and I don't want to. But it's so ingrained in our society and media and culture that it just seeps in, even to the fact where I feel very proud of my family being very open and free with it when it comes to gender. But, you know, I found my daughter telling my son that he couldn't do something because he is a boy and that is a girl's cake and he can't do this because it's that. And she's got that from school. She's got that from outside the house because it is so embaked into society. It really is.
Even though my daughter doesn't like pink, I find myself buying her pink stuff sometimes. And it's just, I always say that one of the first things we're socialised about, even before we're born, is gender. It's always going to be gender. You know, everyone with the gender reveals, doing the pinks and the blues, and I'm not even here yet, and you're already socialising me. So sometimes I find myself doing it too, then I might buy her a dress. I'm like, oh, why didn't you just wear a dress? Do what my mum used to do to me. And I just remember, hold on, I didn't like it when mum did this. What am I doing? I need to stop.
It's also what's available out there. My son, especially, he loves things typically associated with females. And so, like, at the moment, he's really upset because he really wants a pair of bell pants, but not bell knickers because they're not designed for boys in their design. So I'd need to find a pair of pants, boy pants, to keep his little bits in.
Yeah.
That has bell on for him, but that doesn't exist. And it's the same with pull-up pants. Like, his sister had her princess pull-ups and he was obsessed with them and he really wanted them. What is the only thing available in the shops? Cars. That's kind of what
I'm
you have
seeing
to do.
Like a collab, some families times Pampers.
Yes.
Yes.
Gender non-specific.
Yes.
Gender non-specific pull-ups.
That would be great. Oh my God.
It would.
This is what I'm hoping for. Like, all this stuff happening and then I have a child and then things are kind of like easier for me as a parent when it comes to this stuff.
Totally. And in terms of your daughter, Rose, how do you discuss, or, you know, how does she know that you identify as queer? Is that something you've discussed with her? Is she, how open is she to that?
So I only actually told her maybe during the first lockdown. Yeah, that's when I actually told her. But before that, she knew, but she just didn't. She just wasn't aware of any of the labels. So she always knew that a woman could be with a woman, a man could be with a man, or anyone could choose to be whoever they want to be with. But she just didn't know what the labels were. So I did tell her the labels because some of her friends, they're getting older now, and they were, I guess, their parents have told them, oh, you know, Amy's mum is a lesbian. So I guess the kids have come to ask her, oh, is your mum a lesbian? What's a lesbian? So then she's now asking me. We went to Black Lives Matter March and we had Black LGBT Lives Matter on there. She was asking those questions, like, what does this mean? Why did you put LGBT on there? And I told her, I just explained to her, I like women. She said, yeah, everybody likes, a lot of everyone likes women. Some people do, some people don't. And I said, oh, that's part of the LGBT community and that's what a lesbian is, so I'm a lesbian. And she didn't like the fact that there was a label because she felt like it made it seem like it wasn't normal, and she was eight and she understood that, and she was just saying, oh, does that mean like maybe some people don't like you, is that why you had it on the board? And I said, no, we're just going out there saying to remember to like us, that's all really. And yeah, so since then she does ask questions sometimes, and again, obviously she's aware of my relationship with my girlfriend and stuff like that. And she was also has my brother who has a girlfriend as well. She's just seen the two different types of relationships and the variety that there is. So she just saw it from example, but now she's aware that there are labels, and she's still getting her head around the fact that we have to use labels, but she knows that it's there now, so that's good.
And Nana, would you, if you were to ask Rose's little girl to describe her, how do you think she'd describe her mum, and how do you think she'd describe her family?
Do you know what? It's because I'm Raya's, it's very funny. The way she is, it's just like, it's just mummy. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's because it's so normal to her. Like, this is all she knows, you know what I mean? Like, you've been like this since she was born.
Yeah, she was born. Yeah.
She's just like, everything is so normal to her. So she's just like, this is mommy. Even like, obviously when I came along 5 years ago, there was like no confusion. It was just like, okay. And it's just easy for her to accept people, you know, that look like, you know, me, or that look like just like anyone, just easy for her to accept. It's just, she's just a very happy child, and I think she's very like comfortable and secure in the family, even having Twiggy around and that relationship. Like, she's just a happy child. Like, she doesn't know any different, so it doesn't make a difference to her.
So I think that brings us on to, we have a segment on the show called Show and Tell. It's new to this season, but it's where we ask our guests to bring something to the classroom. So you're here with Mr. Oakley and Ms. Jeffs right now. Bring something to the classroom that positively represents the LGBTQ plus, either families or community.
Or doesn't even positively, Stu, because sometimes we've brought things this is to true. Show and tell that are just...
We like things, to name and shame. Points.
Yeah.
Okay.
You say, if you want to bring something to name and shame, feel free to do it as well. But can I ask you, Nana and Rose, what have you brought to class today?
I have brought an organisation called Just Like Us, and it's a charity for young people. And it's amazing because basically they just like go to schools and they educate and inform people. And it's something that, you know, I didn't have when I was growing up. And I felt very, very lost as a young person, as a young queer person in school. I felt lost. I didn't even talk about it. I remember there was a time where I had a mentor, and every week I'd like psych myself up to say, oh, I'm queer. Every week, the words just wouldn't leave my mouth. So I just feel like if I had like an organization just like us, things would have been like, I would have felt more comfortable. I would have felt myself. So it's a really good one. It's a good organization, and we've actually,
it's so good to know about.
Yeah,
we'll make sure we'll put a link in the show notes. Yeah, for that's it as great. Well.
Oh, so what am I going to bring? So I will bring a TV show, and I'm going to. Oh no, but I can't really bring that to class. It's not really age appropriate.
No, bring it, because I was also going to bring a TV show, and I'm wondering if it's the same thing.
So. Oh, okay. So I'm going to bring The Cabins.
Oh, okay.
It's a dating show. Just, I've never seen so many queer people at a dating show before.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, and yeah, I think this is the first time. And the first episode, so basically the concept of the program is they get two people in the cabin, and they just get to know each other over a couple of days, but they always choose whether they want to stay another night or not. I thought it was going to be like a Love Island, but it wasn't. But it was just the queer representation on there. Like the first episode, two women, they paired up two women, and they're actually still in a relationship. I'm giving a spoiler. Amazing. And I think they might be one of the only ones out of the whole show.
Oh,
actually...
no spoilers.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Damn. I'm literally like, I'm going to go and pour a glass of wine and watch this as soon as we finish.
I haven't watched all the episodes, so, you know.
Okay, this is the lockdown show that I need in my life. What I wanted to bring is talking about the presentation of lesbian mums on TV. I don't know if anybody's seen We Are Who We Are on BBC. No. Absolutely beautiful. Done by a director who directed Call Me By Your Name. And it's this like incredibly beautiful sort of platonic love story between these two queer teenagers, a boy and a masculine presenting girl, gay girl. Nana, do you know this? Yeah, isn't it amazing?
TV,
but,
so yes.
Okay, but so tell me, like, the lesbian mums in this and their relationship with the boy, your face is saying it all.
It's strange.
It's off-key, isn't it?
He is an off-key boy, isn't he?
He is.
And I was trying to understand, like, if there was something going on with him, but I didn't really get
it. It's
that.
So interesting, yeah. Like, you don't see lesbian mums on TV enough.
No.
Okay. And then when you do, it's like, they're really odd. There's no two ways about it. Like, mm-hmm. They're odd with each other, the two women, and they're odd with their son. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. So I loved the show, but yeah. I was like, can I just see... some nice, normal gay mums, please, on TV. So that's what I wanted to bring to the group as a talking point of, like, anyone got any other recommendations, any listeners of examples where there's been gay mums or gay dads on a show where it's not been a plot line? Oh, I'll tell you what, like, had sex lesbian education mums. As well. Sex education. That had lesbian mums and that wasn't a storyline.
Actually, yeah. I wanted some background story. Like, I wanted to know how they got together, but we didn't get it.
But we're also thirsty, aren't we? For anything. We want the spin-off that's just about the lesbian mums. Before you go, we're going to do a funny quick thing with you, because we're going to steal it from your show of Snog, Marry, Avoid. But we're going to do it.
Parent theme it.
Yeah. So, Stu, do you want to read out our first? Yeah,
go on then.
Our first
right.
Three options.
Okay. Why don't I put this one to Nana? So, Nana, would you? So, you've got Wanda Sykes, Jodie Foster, and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Okay. Wanda Sykes, has marry, if we're going to go for that. That has to be my parent, because Endless Lols, come on, like, I'll be laughing every day. Jada Pinkett Smith, kiss, like, because her parenting, she just kind of let her kids, like, be who they wanted to be, and that was amazing. I just thought that's the way that I want to raise my kids. And yeah, I don't know much about Jodie Foster, really. I just know her in the films, but I don't know much about her. But she has a cute family.
So are you avoiding her?
Yeah, I'm avoiding her, but she has a cute family. I just don't know much about her.
Would yours be the same, Rose?
No, I think I'm marrying Jada.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I'm, even though she has, you know, her entanglements, I still I think we could get around that, and I would kiss Jodie Foster, and I would avoid Wanda.
Interesting.
Wanda for me, I mean, she's I do love to have a laugh, but I don't like to have a laugh all the time.
Yeah, be a bit exhausting. Here's another three for you, not all queer parents, but anyway, I guess this is a sign of, like, how few there are in the public.
Yeah. I can't even think of any.
But so Chrissy Teigen, obviously not gay. Cynthia Nixon, massively gay, and Beyonce.
Oh, the Cynthia Nixon, Sex and City.
Yes. Yeah, the lawyer
babe. Oh, okay. I'm marrying Beyonce, of course. What does that mean?
Really? Oh.
I'm kissing Cynthia Nixon because I like her. Like, I've seen her, like, her speak and stuff, like videos of her speaking. I think
she's very smart.
Yeah, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's smart. She's talented. I just love her. I'm saying it like I want to marry her instead. Yes, who was the last one I got off?
Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen. I don't know. I don't know what she does.
So it's John Legend's wife. You know Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah.
Take or leave her.
I mean, I think you're going to have your hands full with Beyonce as a wife. I think that was a...
100%.
What about you, Rose?
I am going to marry Chrissy. I just think she... I know I just said Wanda laughs too much, like, jokes around too much, but I feel like Chrissy wouldn't be joking, but she'll still be funny.
And she cooks really well.
Oh, I actually have her cookbook, so, yeah, great stuff. And I am going to kiss Beyonce. But I don't know. We can just play with Blue Ivy and other kids. They're nice.
Yeah.
And I am going to avoid... Who was the last person again?
Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah, I'm avoiding Cynthia Nixon.
Fair enough.
Yes. A bit old Fair for enough. Me, you know.
Well, thank you so, so much, you two, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Nana. Thank you, Rose. Two twos. Wonderful. If you fancy a natter with us, you can DM us on Instagram or Twitter at somefamiliespod, or you can email us at somefamilies@storyhunter.co.uk.
Or you could visit our website, somefamiliespod.com. And big news, on our website, you will find out how you can join our Some Families community. Sign up for our newsletter, where we will be providing you with all the latest news, views, opinions, and hopefully some special offers in your inbox on a regular basis. So head over to our website, somefamiliespod.com, to sign up and join us on our queer parenting journey.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode.
We'll be back next week with another one.
And so until then, it is goodbye.
Goodbye. This episode was produced and edited by Hattie Moyer.
Some Families is a Story Hunter production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.